Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today we continue this series of daily homilies about the Mass itself. And today I want to consider that we come to Mass to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just to meet him shallowly, but to interact with him, to truly hear him, to receive him, to give ourselves to him, and indeed to unite ourselves with him in cooperating in a great work of his. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that at the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And immediately after that, he instituted the Eucharist. And however much we may or may not desire to join with him in any Mass, however much we may be focused or distracted, he is present, and he earnestly desires us and our full sharing with him. Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote, "Unlike all others, our blessed Lord came into this world to die." In each of the four Gospels, how much of the book is devoted to the Passion narrative? Depending upon which Gospel, 20%, 30%, even 40% of the whole book is given over to just the events of Holy Week. One scholar remarked a century ago that one could call the Gospels Passion narratives with extended introductions. And Christ does not want you, does not want any of us, to miss out on sharing in his Paschal mystery just because you did not live in the Holy Land in the first century. It is not only the Virgin Mary and St. John and St. Mary Magdalene and a couple others who should stand at the foot of his cross sharing in his one perfect sacrifice. "I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own." It is not only the women at the empty tomb, or the disciples in the upper room, or the others, even the 500 of whom St. Paul speaks. It is not only they who should encounter him risen. It is you. He wants you to stand with him at his cross. He wants you to encounter him risen and glorious in the breaking of the bread. And he has made you for this. That is, he has remade you for this. You have been reborn for this. One, considering the sacraments, could well make the argument that baptism is the most powerful of all of them. For in baptism, what happens? What happened to you? In your baptism, you were washed of the stain of original sin with which you had been born through human nature. You were configured to Christ. You were made like him. You received a character upon your soul, an imprint, a mark, a brand that is indelible, that will never go away for all eternity, that configures you to him and enables you to do new things. You were baptized into Christ's death, as St. Paul says, immersed in it, immersed in the baptismal water in his tomb, and raised up out of it to live a new life in him. You were adopted as a son or daughter of God the Father. You were filled with faith, hope, and love. You were filled with the Holy Spirit. You were made a member of the body of Christ, joined to him and joined to other members, different and yet made to go together and work together harmoniously like parts of a body. All of this happened in baptism, and baptism is the gateway to all the other sacraments. And yet, all of this, baptism itself, points you here to the Eucharist, to the Mass, enables this joining with Christ. It prepared you for it. It made you able to participate in it, to join with Christ in it. That is why in the current baptismal rite, following the baptism itself and the explanatory rites, then the priest with the infant, the parents and godparents come over here to face the altar and here to pray and to receive the blessing. Because the one points to the other. This is what you were remade for. This is what you were reborn for. This is what Christ earnestly desires. He desires you.